Welcome to the BritishBattles.com podcast on the sortie from Bayonne, the terrible nighttime clash outside Bayonne on 14th April 1814 that marked the end of the Peninsular War, but occurred after the abdication of the Emperor Napoleon on 4th April 1814. My name is John McKenzie. I am the editor of BritishBattles.com. I write the text for the entries in BritishBattles.com. I also select the illustrations and draft the maps under my nom de carte of John Fawkes. I would invite you to look at the BritishBattles.com site for the sortie from Bayonne, where you will see a number of illustrations and my map of the battle. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and I invite you to send me your comments to info@britishbattles.com. The sortie from Bayonne took place outside the city of Bayonne in the southwest corner of France. The battle was fought between around 6,000 British, King's German Legion and Portuguese troops, commanded by Major General Sir John Hope, followed after his wounding and capture by General Howard, against around 5,000 French troops supported by the guns of the citadel of Bayonne. General Fouvenot, French governor of Bayonne, commanded the troops that carried out the sortie. The French sortie from Bayonne was repelled after a night of heavy fighting. The orders of battle of the various nationalities involved in the fighting are given in the BritishBattles.com website on the battle. Bayonne is a major city in the southwest corner of France. Lying on the estuary of the River Adour, Bayonne was a major obstacle to Wellington's continued advance into France in 1814, and a necessary port for the supply of Wellington's army. Bayonne remained in French hands until the end of the Peninsular War. The garrison of Bayonne in 1814 was commanded by General Pierre Fouvenot. Before Marshal Soult marched to Toulouse in March 1814, following the Battle of Orthez, Soult reinforced Fouvenot's garrison in Bayonne with Abbe's division, increasing the garrison to 14,000 men. Wellington left General Sir John Hope's corps to blockade and capture Bayonne while he pursued Soult to Toulouse with the rest of his army. The war against France was coming to an end. Every day, news was expected from the north that Napoleon ceased to be Emperor of France with an end to hostilities. Expectation of an end to the war persuaded both Hope and Wellington to defer an all-out assault on Bayonne, which must incur substantial casualties to both sides and would probably turn out to be unnecessary. The French garrison of Bayonne intended otherwise and was planning a vigorous attack on the besiegers. It is unclear whether the impetus for a French sortie from Bayonne came from the governor, General Pierre Fouvenot, or from ardent supporters of the Emperor Napoleon among his senior officers and staff. Wellington directed Hope that he was to maintain a blockade of the city until the British siege train came up, when he would be expected to capture the Bayonne citadel, situated on the north bank of the River Adour. The British siege train arrived at Bayonne on 13th April 1814. The French sortie was initially planned for 4th April 1814, but was delayed due to the continuing storms. It is far from clear what the French hoped to achieve by a sortie, even if successful. Possibly destruction of a section of the entrenchments surrounding the city. On around 8th April 1814, word reached Hope from the French royalists in Bordeaux, headed by Napoleon's erstwhile diplomat Talleyrand, that the Emperor Napoleon had abdicated on 4th April 1814 and that the war was over. This information was passed informally to French officers on the picket lines outside Bayonne, but was not believed by Fouvenot or his officers. The garrison of Bayonne was short of supplies, and it was clear to the French troops that the war was all but lost. In addition, there was an informal truce with the besieging troops. These factors led to significant numbers of French soldiers deserting from Bayonne and either making their way home or surrendering to the British. The new date for the French sortie from Bayonne was set for the early morning of 14th April 1814. The attack was to be northwards from the Bayonne citadel upon the British entrenchments along the road between Bocau in the west and Saint-Étienne on the main road from Bordeaux to Toulouse. General Hayes' brigade of Colville's 5th Division manned the pickets and fortified posts in Saint-Étienne. To the west of Saint-Étienne, Stopford's Guards Brigade held the crossroads and the Jewish cemetery in the northwest corner of the crossroads, with one company in Saint-Étienne, and provided pickets along the road to Bocau. The pickets from Stopford's brigade were that night commanded by Captain Willoughby Cotton of the 3rd Foot Guards. Maitland's Guards Brigade was in camp near Bocau. Hinuba's King's German Legion Brigade was in camp to the north of Saint-Étienne. At 1 a.m. on 14th April 1814, a French deserter came into the British pickets with word of an impending French attack. The general officer on duty in the area was General Hay of the 5th Division, whose brigade held Saint-Étienne. Napier says that Hay spoke no French and took the deserter to the King's German Legion Brigade Commander, General Hinubert, whose brigade camp lay behind Saint-Étienne. In the light of the deserter's information, the British formations in the area were alerted and put under arms. The first French move was a feint attack to the southwest of Bayonne towards Anglet, launched at 3 a.m. on 14th April 1814. This feint attack was shortly afterwards followed by the main assault. Three French columns, comprising 5,000 men, left the Bayonne citadel around 3 a.m. French gunboats sailed into the estuary and began bombarding the British positions along the shore, giving rise to fears for the safety of the bridge of boats across the River Adour in the mouth of the estuary. The first two French columns attacked Saint-Étienne and the line of pickets along the Bocau-Saint-Étienne road. The French came up at the double out of the dark, supported by blasts of gunfire from the citadel, and charged through the British picket line, the right column taking the Saint-Étienne crossroads within 15 minutes of the commencement of the assault, the left column capturing the St. Bernard road as far as Montigout. The British pickets along the Saint-Étienne to Montigout road from the Coldstream and 3rd Regiments of Foot Guards were overwhelmed and almost entirely killed or captured after defending themselves with the bayonet. The French supporting column burst through the crossroads and rushed north up the Bordeaux road, driving the British troops before them. General Hay was killed in Saint-Étienne early in the fighting, his last order being to hold the Saint-Étienne church to the last. Sir John Hope, cantering up the road from Bocau to Saint-Étienne with his staff in answer to the alarm, rode straight into the French troops and was wounded twice. Sir John's horse was shot dead and fell, trapping his leg. The British commander was captured, together with three of his staff who rode back to assist him. News of Sir John Hope's capture reached his deputy, General Howard, who took command. In the meantime, the French advance through Saint-Étienne had been stopped by a vigorous defence of one of the houses in the centre of Saint-Étienne by Captain Forster with a party of troops from the 38th Regiment. The French were unable to dislodge Forster and his men. In the British centre, on the western side of the Bordeaux Road, a force of British foot guards held the Jewish cemetery and again could not be forced out. General Hinubert launched his brigade of the King's German Legion in a counterattack into Saint-Étienne, headed by the 2nd King's German Legion Light Infantry, driving the French out of the village and relieving Captain Forster's party holding out in the house. Hunebert's attack was supported by Portuguese troops from the 13th Line Regiment and 5th Caçadores. To the west of Saint-Étienne, the 3rd Battalion of the 1st Foot Guards from General Maitland's brigade attacked the French from the direction of Bocau, while Colonel Guise, commanding the 2nd Guards Brigade, after the wounding of General Stopford, launched the 1st Battalion of the Coldstream Guards in a counterattack on the French in the area of the Hollow Road. Fearing to be cut off from Bayonne after a hard-fought resistance, the French fell back to the citadel. During the course of the French retreat, a British gun was brought into action, firing into the French eastern flank, causing them further casualties. French casualties in the sortie from Bayonne were 900 killed and wounded and 13 taken prisoner. British casualties were 678 killed and wounded, with 236 taken prisoner, including Major General John Hay of Colville's 5th Division killed, and Major General Sir John Hope, the British commander, wounded and captured by the French, with 3 of his staff officers. Major General Stopford, commanding the 2nd Guards Brigade, was wounded. Portuguese casualties were 33 killed and wounded. Of the British General Staff, 1 captain was killed, and 3 captains and 1 lieutenant wounded or captured. Finally, on 27th April 1814, General Thouvenot received a letter from Marshal Soult, informing him of the abdication of the Emperor Napoleon and ordering him to cease fighting. The Peninsular War was over. No clasp was issued for the Military General Service Medal 1848 for the sortie from Bayonne. Neither was any regimental battle honour awarded for the sortie from Bayonne. Napier attributes the failure of the French attack to the resolute defence of the house in Saint-Étienne by Captain Forster and his men from the 38th Regiment, and the defence of the Jewish cemetery by the 2nd Guards Brigade. Wellington was outraged that General Thouvenot should initiate such a destructive battle when it was known that the Emperor Napoleon had abdicated and the war was effectively over. Wellington called Thouvenot a blackguard. Sir John Hope's ADC, Lieutenant George Moore, 52nd Light Infantry, was a nephew of Sir John Moore, the British Commander-in-Chief killed at Corunna in 1809. Lieutenant Moore and the group of Hope's staff officers, on encountering the French attack, rode off to escape capture. They realised that Sir John Hope was not with them and rode back to rescue him. All were captured, with Moore and Captain Herries severely wounded. The 2nd Guards Brigade picket line that received the French attack along the Bocau to Saint-Étienne road was commanded by Captain Willoughby Cotton of the 3rd Foot Guards. Cotton attended Rugby School, where he led a revolt against the headmaster, who called out the local militia to quell the rebellious pupils and expelled Cotton. This wayward antecedent does not seem to have hindered Cotton in obtaining a commission in a prestigious regiment. Grunau recounts how Captain Willoughby Cotton was taken prisoner by French soldiers during the sortie from Bayonne, but secured his release by handing over his watch and the money he was carrying, a Spanish dollar. The French soldiers gave him a beating before releasing him, because the sum was so mean. Grunau records that Captain Townsend of the Guards was also captured, hinting that he was too corpulent to outpace the pursuing French. Robert Batty, two of whose pictures are shown on the BritishBattles.com site, served as an officer in the 1st Foot Guards in the Western Pyrenees and was wounded at the Battle of Waterloo. Batty took a degree in medicine at Caius College, Cambridge in 1813 before joining the army. A talented artist, Batty toured Europe after leaving the army, executing sketches and pictures of various landmarks and cities, publishing books, and becoming a fellow of the Royal Society. Batty wrote and illustrated accounts of the campaigns he experienced. The sortie from Bayonne is of poignant significance for the British Foot Guards in view of the large number of officers and soldiers killed and wounded. British graves from the battle were restored and placed in a single graveyard through the efforts of P.A. Hurt, a British resident of Bayonne, in the second half of the 19th century. Queen Victoria visited the graveyard in 1889, and King Edward VII visited the graveyard in 1909. That is the end of this podcast on the sortie from Bayonne. I hope you have enjoyed it, and thank you for listening. I would invite you to look at the BritishBattles.com site on the battle, where you will find pictures of the battle and images of the regiments that took part with my map of the battle. Finally, I would invite you to look at the list of British Battles podcasts on www.britishbattles.com/BritishBattles-com-podcasts.